Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Mom, look.
Tick-tock, Noah. I said no phones at the table.
Just look.
You guys, I'm here at the wheelhouse. We were partying tonight. And Tate and Liam, they just raped me. I don't know whether to post this or go to SVU or pretend like it was a bad dream.
Who is this?
Willa Bartola, dancer.
Well, she must have deleted it. It's not there anymore.
If the video's gone, does that mean you can't help her?
No, it doesn't, honey. Sweetie, remember how I keep telling you? Once you post something on the internet, it stays there forever.
In New York City, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. These are their stories.
Hey guys, welcome to Munch My Benson. My name is Adam.
Still funny the second time.
I'm here in New York. I'm joined on the line by Josh. How are things, Josh?
Things are great. YouTubers got a treat.
I'm wearing my Olivia shirt. It's got many beautiful Olivias on it.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. So we're kind of short timers here in New York now. And the weather's getting a little bit nicer, at least some
of
the times.
Welcome the people nice. To the show.
Oh, I didn't welcome anybody to the show. Hey, guys. Yeah. We're Munch My Benson. Welcome to the show, guys. I did very briefly. So the fam and I took a ferry boat trip down to Lower Manhattan. And we did the kind of like adventuring that maybe we did in our early days and our heady days when it was still fun to go out and get around town before we were beaten into the asphalt by this damn dirty town that we live in. But so we went down to Wall Street.
Did you get to ring the bell?
No, I didn't. We did not go into the trading floor. But I'd got notice. You might have known Sharif. He was a little city customer. Sharif posted on Twitter about this sandwich in Lower Manhattan down by the courthouse. And I looked it up. I haven't gone sandwich hunting in a while. Holy shit, Josh. This is the Italian sandwich I've been looking for in this town. Pasillo Panini. There are two locations. You're getting this sandwich that's like too much for one person to eat. You have to bring somebody else. Or you're eating half for lunch and half like later on for your, you know,
probably post. The ideal.
Yeah. They're not cheap. It's like $18 after tax.
Yeah, but it's for a double sandwich.
Yeah, and it's like loaded with good stuff, you know, like fresh in-house mozzarella and
sure.
They like carve the
they buffalo
prosciutto
that
and the
in-house.
Pancetta, like right. They're not like reaching into a tub of prosciutto. They're carving it for you right as you order your sandwich.
It's yeah,
it's a good fucking store. Anyways, great sandwich. We went and ate it over along the Hudson River waterfront. I don't really go to the West Side. This was our second West Side trip in the week. You know, it's weird over there, man. This episode that we're about to talk about gets over there. Basically, everything on the West Side of Manhattan, between the tunnels, between the Holland Tunnel down in Lower Manhattan and the Lincoln Tunnel up kind of by Times Square, it's very clean and very much a shopping mall filled with influencers. In many ways, it's awful. Other ways, it's kind of nice. I mean, there's like nice things over there, but it definitely doesn't feel like you're in a real place.
Did it really prime your pump for this episode?
It did. It really made me go, oh, I know where these people live and work.
But you said with a derisive sneer, right?
Yeah, but these guys, really, and more specifically, like the hangers-on around them, they are eat, pray, loving their way up and down the High Line from brunch spot to appetizer spot to happy hour spot.
Tapas bar.
They got their late night tapas bar too. And occasionally they're doing some sort of art opening at a gallery. It's fucking terrible over
but
there.
But a pop-up gallery, not a real one.
Oh yeah, they don't go to real galleries. Yeah. No. That's for pores and wannabes. Tourists go there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what we got into. What about yourself, Josh? What have you been up to?
We've been watching some stuff. We watched Shrinking, mm-hmm. which I quite liked. I hate the theme song a lot. Mm-hmm. You've not watched Ted Lasso, right?
No.
Okay. So they're both Bill Lawrence joints.
I'm skeptical of Ted Lasso.
No, it's fine. I'm not saying you need to watch Ted Lasso.
It seems a little too like positive for my taste. I don't know if that's the case.
I don't think it's as positive as you think it is, but okay. Regardless. Okay. The theme song for Ted Lasso and the mm-hmm. theme song for Shrinking, they're both very fucking bad.
Okay.
They're both co-written by the same guy, mm-hmm. this Tom Howe guy. That I know his name is a problem, I think.
Well, you looked it up and not for the right reasons.
No, I looked it up for the very wrong reasons. I'm not happy with this person. And so he co-wrote the Ted Lasso one with Marcus Mumford, who I fucking hate. Mm. And he co-wrote the Shrinking one with Ben Gibbard, who I don't hate Ben Gibbard, but like he hasn't Same done anything you. I thought was good in 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe 17 years, but a very long time
of
not liking anything that Ben Gibbard's done. I was fine with Transatlanticism. I was fine with the Postal Service. That was kind of the last like.
But Postal Service was like 2007 or something.
No,
right?
No, way earlier.
It was,
yeah, like 2002 or 3.
Jesus Christ.
So like that's how far back you're going.
I don't think I've listened to it since like 2007. But
surely not.
Yeah.
No, I mean I liked it at the time, but I haven't listened to it in ages.
Yeah.
Anyway, both theme songs are so irritating that like I can't pick up the remote to fast forward through them fast enough.
The worst is when you like can't find the remote and they're or you press very the loud button. Oh, it's
they're the really worst. Loud. It like comes fucking screaming out of the gates, and like it's not like it's screaming out of the gates and it's like fucking AC/DC or anything.
Yeah,
it's you're not songs that are pumped. Co-written by Ben Gibbard and fucking Marcus Mumford. You know, like
it's not "Here We Are, Born to Be Kings, We Are Princes of the Universe."
Yeah, it's not what I mean? Fucking Highlander.
You're not
just screaming out. Yeah, you're like, gates, but you're like, just about it. Yeah,
you're so fucking pumped. You're like, dun 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 dun.
I mean, I love Princes of the Universe.
You're hoping that it's an episode where Duncan like reconnects with a long lost love from like the 15th century, and you get to hear the love theme from Highlander. It's such a like a nice what do you call that, a lanyap, when you get to hear two fucking songs from the film soundtrack. Wow.
Sometimes I worry that your love of Highlander the series supersedes and surpasses your love for Highlander the movie, which would be wrong.
There are different things that exist in the same universe.
Yeah, but Highlander the movie,
I can appreciate them on different levels because I think they're different. It's like somebody was talking about how Star Trek, the original series, is like a space Western, whereas Star Trek, the Next Generation, is a Master and Commander in space, right? So one of them's like a nautical one and one of them's a Western. And so they're different genres. And
I've
think
never
it's
seen
the
Master
same.
And Commander. And I've not
But
read
you know,
any
it's like it's
books.
Like it's like a pirate show, basically. They're like traveling around in a boat and run into
it's a
adventures.
Sexless black sails, you're saying?
It's a sexless black sails. Yes, exactly. But I think it's the same way with the Highlanders, because I really think that like you're going to those wells to scratch different itches, right?
I feel like Highlander the film scratches every itch.
Highlander the film is a sweeping epic. I agree with you. I'm not going to like deny
but it's
that.
Also got the wrestling at the garden and
but sometimes I want to see Adrian Paul duel a man to death on top of a sulfur mound in downtown Vancouver. Sometimes I want to see that. Sometimes I want to see, you know, a fun one about what's his name, Richie. I want to see Richie getting into a little tussle about his motorcycle. You know, I want to see the like slice of life like what the day to day living as an immortal.
Well, then just watch the director's cut of Highlander.
What?
Just watch the director's cut of Highlander. It has all that slice of life shit that you're wanting.
But I can live with these characters instead of like going on.
Do you know
one
how many times
arc.
I've seen Highlander? You can live with Highlander too. but not with Highlander 2 The Quickening, which is horrible.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So there's like 8 seasons of Highlander the show, and I have not seen all those episodes, but there's some fun ones out there. I'm not denying that the original is probably better. However, I do think that Adrian Paul is probably a better actor than Christopher Lambert. I will take that bet.
I actually disagree. I think Lambert is really good in the Besson stuff that he did.
I'm not saying that he's bad, but Adrian Paul's he sneaks up on you.
But you know what the series does not have? Clancy Brown.
Well, it doesn't have Clancy Brown. That's true.
Kurgan. And it doesn't have
our
favorite
the
Spaniard. It doesn't have our favorite Spaniard. Sean Connery.
There is a fun accent work going on in the series, but
I mean,
but
you've
not
got a,
like
you've
the
got
movie.
A fucking Walloon like doing movie. You got a goddamn Walloon doing a Scottish accent, and you got a fucking Scotsman doing a goddamn Spanish accent. It's amazing.
A Scotsman who's like incapable of doing any accent but his own. It's glorious stuff. It's like, it's kind of like watching the Gucci movie and seeing Jeremy Irons attempt
Christ.
To be Italian.
have you watched all of it yet?
No.
You've seen like 5-10 minutes of it?
I've seen up to the wedding, basically.
Okay. You've seen enough. You should watch all of it, though.
I've seen the like the
I'm going to make us watch it for a movie club.
Yeah. The premarital love scene, which was shocking and disturbing to me. And I also saw the pre-sex scene hose fight between Adam Driver and whatever his bud.
The future brothers-in-law, I think.
Yeah. Anyways.
Maybe we should add that to the...
Do we have anybody? Is there anybody?
Jeremy Irons,
obviously. I think if we get somebody else, then we can definitely throw that in there.
Yeah, because I want to make everyone else watch it. I also want to make everyone else watch the David Chase movie. Those are my two crosses to bear, I think, for Movie Club right now.
Well, God, I'm trying, really trying to get, what was it? What's it called? McShane?
It's not even the first one.
I know. That's kind of why it's even more ridiculous. Apparently, they're trying to make a series and... nobody bit on giving Kenny Rogers a series.
It's a TV movie series.
They were trying to do like a Columbo style thing after that was an anachronism.
They were still doing that with that in Rockford.
Yeah, but that's about it at that point.
Sure.
Anyways, Josh.
We have an episode of television that we watched.
We do.
That everything we just talked about has nothing to do with.
No.
First, what are you drinking?
Like last week, I'm drinking a Montauk Wave Chaser IPA. It's delightful. How about yourself, Josh? Have you moved up to the hard stuff?
I've got a Diet Coke and then in my beautiful Tony's
nice.
On the pier glass.
Beautiful stuff.
It was full. It's not anymore. And it was full, like brimming over.
It's definitely my favorite bar that has personally branded novelty glasses. I know some other really great bars, but they're not that kind of bar. And I love it for that.
They're not smart. We've talked about it. It's the best bar.
Ad nauseum. We talk about it maybe every week.
Talk about it way too much, yeah. But I've got the glasses, so we're going to keep talking about it.
Tony's, if you're looking to broaden your appeal and you want to offer some sponsorship deals, we'll do the spots.
Now I feel like fuck my work life with Coors Light. But we're recording a niche fucking bar on the pier in Redondo.
Which would be my favorite, absolute
I know,
favorite
that'd be the
product
best sponsorship. Like I'm gonna reach out. Like, hey, we've been talking about you guys for like 3 weeks. I'll wait until we've dropped an episode with it. If you have one that you're editing, tell me that we're talking about it, and I'll be like, hey,
I'll make sure it's one where I don't actually cut that out because I feel like I've already cut out Tony's talk at least once.
I hope not. It should always be in there. But yeah, Tony's on the pier. Mm-hmm. If you're in Redondo, you best fucking go.
If you're anywhere like...
If you're between San Francisco and San Diego, honestly.
Really, you should be going there.
Fuck. No, all the way down to All the way down to the tip of the Baja.
Yeah.
All the way down to what?
Some say Boca Raton. Oh.
Why can't I fucking think of it?
I know. I can't think of it either. I've never been. Cabo San Lucas.
Cabo Wabo. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah. If you're anywhere between Cabo San Lucas.
If you have a vacation to Baja planned, change your plans, rent a car.
Go to Tony's on the pier.
Four hours to Tony's on the pier.
If you're anywhere between Cabo San Lucas and fucking Eureka, California,
hold on.
You better fucking find a way to go out of your way to go to Tony's on the pier.
I'm gonna figure out, like, while you're doing, actually, right now, I'm going to...
I'm drinking Jameson on the rocks.
Nice.
In my Tony's on the pier glass.
So, my drive time... 12 hours, 53 minutes. So I'll have to spend a night on the road. From Cabo? No, from Albuquerque to Tony's on the Pier. You know, plotting my next Tony's on the Pier vacation. Nice. I'll have to spend a night on the road somewhere.
I've been there quite a bit. I've probably been there like 6 times.
I'm glad. That makes me happy.
Because it's out of the way. It was out of the way for me in LA.
Very far.
I still went.
It's like an hour from your house, right?
It can be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So this week we're watching... Season 23, Episode 5, Fast Times at the Wheelhouse, or if you're watching on Hulu, for reasons that baffle me, Fast Times at Diggy's Penthouse.
Unclear why they're those two different names.
TikToker Willa Bartola is invited to the Wheelhouse, a spectacularly irritating influencer incu/masturbatorium. Where she does a dumb dance vid with the three tool bags before getting hammered and being led from the hot tub by the two douchiest douche bros. An indeterminate amount of time later, her male friend, who demanded he be her escort for her own safety, finds her crying in a random bedroom. And, like a week later, Noah is sitting at lunch with his mom when he tells her to watch a TikTok of Willa saying she was raped by the two boners. Roll Benzisi. Can't figure out what to do with the case, but thankfully, hacker detective Chet Slootmachers wanders in unprompted from organized crime with random organized crime biz.
They can't have people this Dutch be like solving crimes in New York. I mean, it's absurd.
With random OC biz, only to see Willa Bartola on the screen and be like, whoa. That chica's TikTok famous now because she did some dumb video with the Wheelhouse dudes last week. When Rawlinson talked with Willa, she tells them she pulled the video because the Wheelhouse Stan Army came after her online, harassing and doxing her. She tells of the assault where the douche bros told her that she was going to get some brotherly love as they mounted and raped her before she passed out. Kevon, Willa's best friend, backs up her story, telling them he used to live at the Wheelhouse and had to get out of there because they're scumbags. But Ralisi have to explain to Willa that the case isn't straightforward because she didn't report immediately and didn't get a rape kit. So when the rape dinks inevitably lawyer up, the state is going to need more to be able to prosecute on. Needing more help, Benson begs Sergeant Bell to loan her jet to go undercover at the Wheelhouse. At the Wheelhouse, Liam and Tate corner Willa on the rooftop after hijacking Wheeler's attempted apology, forcing her to recant on a live stream. The sneering fuckmooks basically high-five each other in interrogation, as their rooftop gambit seems to have adequately undercut her reliability. And Wheeler tells them that his life sucks, but that he doesn't have any proof that anything other than consensual sex happened. Then Liam and Tate drop another video bragging about double-teaming Willa. The shitheads are arraigned and make their $1 million bail, only to immediately go out to their fans outside the courthouse, where they douche it up and their Stan army throws a slushy at Carisi as he and Rollins walk past. Judge Catano advises the boys that any further talk on social media about their case could incur inciting a riot charges. As Wheeler live streams outside the courtroom saying he won't be talking about the case on social media, Willa exits the courtroom and he tries to apologize for their shithead fans. Only she ain't having any of that bullshit, and Carisi tells him he's smart enough to know what really went down in that room, and that testifying for the defense is a shitty play. Taint and Liam sneer and smirk their way through a trial where Willa has holes poked in her case as her comment from another influencer's accusation of rape from shortly before her rape calls into question whether or not she was just chasing followers with the accusation. Wheeler apologizes to Willa again, and Carisi says if he's sorry, he'd fucking do something about it. Wheeler posts a video saying that he was sorry he failed Willa and that Taint and Liam raped her, which the defense tries to use to garner a mistrial to no avail. Carisi calls former defense witness Diggy Wheeler to the stand, where he admits that the accused put the kibosh on Willa entering the house and later bragged about, quote, shutting that bitch down, end quote. Their defense attorney accuses Wheeler of being jealous of his clients, channeling just as much slime as his clients are oozing throughout the trial. Wheeler melts down on the stand, saying he smoothed things over for a slew of other crying girls leaving the house, getting locked up for contempt of court in the process after Catano declines to declare a mistrial or dismiss the case. The prosecution and defense rest. Elvis Baktashi comes in and has intel about the Albanians trafficking girls, which relates to an arc on organized crime. And then the jury comes back with a four-person eye-fucking the two rapists as she reads off not guilty verdicts on false imprisonment and first-degree rape charges. Rollins apologizes to Willa for the two fucks walking. Carisi visits Diggy and the judge's holding cell, where he heps them to the forewoman, who it turns out was DM'd by the fuck bros during the trial. They're going away for bribery and jury tampering. Willa says Carisi's a solid dude and that she's moving into the wheelhouse with Kavan, where they're going to rebrand it as a Survivors Collective. And then Benson tells Bell that a shipment of underage Albanian girls is coming in 12 hours, and we get a no goddamn way are we watching 8 episodes of organized crime to make that shit make sense to Adam Dick Wolf.
Ain't that the truth? I was like sitting down going like, oh shit, here it comes. 3 hours of television that I'm going to have to watch right now. And then I was like, oh, there was definitely an A plot and there was definitely a like minor B plot.
I would posit that it's a D plot.
You're right.
Moving on to guest stars. We've already talked about Michael Dempsey, who's playing Elvis Baktashi.
Yeah.
And we talked about Ryan Bugle, who's playing Noah Porter Benson.
Have we ever?
We talked about them both in episode 142. I'm not going to kink shame a 12-year-old. We're just talking about season 23, episode 11, Burning with Rage Forever. Man, I've said a lot of fucked up things on this podcast. It ended up being episode titles.
In context, they make a lot more sense. But the whole point is that we're just, you know, we're dropping a little crumb that you'll follow down the path to enlightenment.
It's... I mean, man, this show really lends itself to having fucked up episode titles for a podcast.
Noah in a dog cage wearing a dog collar in the cold open of an episode. What are we supposed to think?
In an episode in which he comes out as being bi.
What are we supposed to think?
First up, Danielle Monae Truitt, who's playing Sergeant Ayanna Bell. She's born and raised in Sacramento. She was Miss Black Sacramento 2000 and studied theater and dance at Sacramento State, graduating 2004. She's been in the films The Princess and the Frog, EXTR, and See Dick Run. She was main cast in Rebel, Deputy, and obviously in Organized Crime, where she is the head of the unit that Stabler's working on. This is one of four SVUs and counting that she's crossed over into. She's also randomly a different character in a Chicago Med like the year before she was cast in Organized Crime. Mm. She was nominated for Ovation Awards for Dreamgirls and The Mountaintop, the latter role also netting her an NAACP Theater Award nomination. She has two children with her husband, Kelvin Truitt, who she was married to from 2007 to 2021. Then we've got Ainsley Seeger, who's playing Detective Jet Sloopmakers. She's from...
just aggressively Dutch.
I mean... it's such a weird... she's from North Carolina.
Well,
I know the name, and the name is... Yeah, Ainsley Seeger is. Jet Sloopmakers.
I mean, I guess they're like, oh, there's Dutch people in New York, but every Dutch person who has a name like that that still lives in New York is like, their feet have not touched the ground in like six different generations, you know?
Yeah. The carpet is always rolled out for them.
Exactly. They have like sedan chairs taken to their Ubers, you know, from their doorman buildings.
Ainsley Seeger is from Cary, North Carolina. Her mother is an opera singer and a voice coach. Her father is a jeweler and a goldsmith.
Mm.
She graduated from Apex High School in the greater Raleigh-Durham area and then went to University of North Carolina School for the Arts in Winston-Salem.
You've seen more of the OC than I have. I'm going to call it that.
I've seen all of it, except for the newest episode.
Is she more like the young, cool one that helps them understand the streets more? So kind of like the goth girl from
NCIS?
She's like
a hacker. She's
the goth girl from NCIS.
Kind of. I mean, she's 30 years younger than Polly Perrette.
Mm-hmm.
She's literally 24 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Her character...
kind of a girl with the dragon tattoo
setup. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the ilk from which she's cut a bit. She's definitely in the field more. but she's still like the hacker weirdo. I don't know how Stabler knew her, but he knew her. He brought her in. Anyway,
whatever. Interesting. One of Kathleen's friends.
I do like her character. Okay. Like, her character is actually interesting.
Nice.
So Seeger landed this role shortly after graduating from college. She's only 24, so like, obviously this is in its third season. So she was cast like seriously right out of college.
Well, good, man. Good for her.
She uses any pronouns. She's also bisexual. She's this young. There's nothing else to talk about. She has one other short film credit. Next up, we have not talked about Ada Turturro at length.
We haven't?
We talked about her. You know, she's Janice Soprano. We talked about her. But she was on so early that we didn't do her up in earnest. So this is the fifth time we've seen her.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we're like talking about her at length.
Okay.
She is playing trial judge Felicia Catano. This is one of 14 times and counting that she's this character.
Yeah.
She was born in Brooklyn to Italian-American artist Dominic Turturro. I almost said Dominic Toretto. Dominic Turturro and Sicilian homemaker Dorothy Turturro. Nicholas and John Turturro are her cousins, like first cousins.
Nice.
She's got a BA in theater from SUNY New Paltz. No idea what that means. New Paltz, that's not a thing. That's not a real place. That is made up.
Upstate is kind of a state of mind, as far as I understand.
She earned 2 Emmy nominations for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama for her turn as Janice Soprano in The Sopranos in seasons 2 and 7, I believe.
One of the most memorable characters from the show.
I watched Soprano into season 2 and she was so irritating that I just fucking...
She's amazing in that show. And it's awful. She's like,
you know, I'm never going to watch it.
It's okay. You don't have to.
Yeah. I'm also never going to eat a Big Mac.
You're too stubborn to.
I watched the first season and a half and I was just like, whatever. I'm not wild about Italian mafia shit.
Well, I know. You have a predilection to not get into that genre, which is fine because it's often overdone. What's so interesting about The Sopranos is how they play with the conventions. However, we don't need to talk about that. But Janice Soprano is one of those big characters in a show.
I mean, 2 Emmy nominations.
Yeah.
She's basically only like third fiddle in the female cast to Edie Falco and Lorraine Bracco.
Exactly. And it couldn't be more different of a character than those two. Those two are like the kind of like pillars anchoring Tony Soprano, whereas she's
the
totally
whirlwind of
thing.
Chaos that's coming in and fucking everything up.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's been in the films True Love, What About Bob, Mac. I had to sort of cull a lot of these because the character is so clearly not even tertiary. You know, well, just
she was acting for a long time before she had her breakout. Yeah.
I mean, fuck, she was like probably, in her late 40s when Janice Soprano happened? Anyway, so What About Bob, Mac, Life with Mikey, Angie, The Search for One-Eyed Jimmy, Sleepers, Fallen, Celebrity, Deep Blue Sea, Bringing Out the Dead, Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, which I would also posit we should...
Put that on there.
Oh, it's so bad. I've seen it very recently.
I've not seen that
fucking
one.
Brutal.
Is that number 3 or did they do a 4th one?
I think that's a 3rd one.
Okay. First 2
Romance
I'm a big
and
fan
Cigarettes.
Of.
Huge fan. I liked them as a kid. Romance and Cigarettes, Rob the Mob, and Call Jane. She was main cast in The Right Verdicts, right? Like Max Wright.
W-R-I-G-H-T.
I'm just going with... That's the Wright that everyone's thinking of is Max Wright, the dad from Alf, Willie. She also had recurring roles in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the Bakula and Bello show. So recurring roles in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and The Blacklist. She's in 3 episodes of the original series as well. The next 4 are going to go very fast.
Nice thing about this episode, these people do not
have... No one to talk about. First up, Lena Torlumke. Torlumke? Torlumke, I think. Torlumke, who's playing Willa Bartola. She's had recurring roles on American Housewife and Speechless. She's in 2 Chicago Fires. Literally it. That's all I could come up with. Julian Elijah Martinez, who's playing Counselor Jericho Swope, the douche bros defense attorney. He was raised in Howard County, Maryland. He has a BFA from Elon University and an MFA from the Yale School of Drama. He's a founding member of the Encompass Collective. He He's on the board of the Developing Artist Theater Company. He also does freelance photography, and he's done a bunch of stage work. He's main cast in Wu-Tang and American Saga, and he's had recurring roles in Elementary and as this character, and two more and counting SVUs. Mark Webster is playing Judge Charles Purvis. He's in the films The Jerky Boys, Clockers, The Kings of Brooklyn, and The Climb. He was main cast in The Mysteries of Laura, which you could not pay me to watch. Deborah Messing's star vehicle.
Ooh. Nice.
He's had recurring roles or been in multiple episodes of Kidnapped, Golden Boy, Madam Secretary, and Manifest. That's it. Then we've got Kaylee Vernoff, mm-hmm. Counselor Albert. This is one of three SVUs. She's played two attorneys, basically. This is, I think, she's reprising Counselor Albert, but she was also a different attorney in another episode. This is, I want to call him Dippy, but it's Diggy, right?
Diggy, yeah.
Diggy, it's his lawyer. Mm. She had recurring roles in Another World, The High Life, Mildred Pierce, The Path, Grey's Anatomy, and The Enemy Within. She's been in the films No Looking Back, Sweet and Lowdown, Jump Tomorrow, The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, World Traveler, Thoroughbreds, and Materna. That's it.
You didn't feel like talking about Connor Sweeney or Taylor Trench or Jake Ryan Lozano?
Connor Sweeney was in Don't Look Up. He was Leo's kid in Don't Look Up. That's it. That's all
exactly.
I got. Everybody else, it's like
Jake
so
Ryan
few
Lozano
credits.
Was in When They See Us. But I don't know what his
character
was.
Yeah, but in one episode.
Yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
As tends to happen, like when you go back and watch a fucking season. I mean, fuck, Nicholas Braun was the kid looking at porn in the fucking coffee shop.
Exactly.
And Hooked.
Yeah, exactly. Nicholas Braun was doing that. And then who was the actress, the Asian American actress who was just like
Constance Wu.
Yeah, it was Constance Wu, exactly. Yeah. Like tiny little role.
Uh-huh.
Viola Davis. I mean, she had a recurring part, but still.
But a very minor recurring. I mean, she's just a defense attorney.
Exactly. And
so
now,
that, you know, that weird shit happens and then they become Mahershala Ali.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's in two SVUs.
You know, it's a jumping off point for future.
Although I hope that neither of these fuckos get to jump off from this, because fuck those two guys.
Odious, these guys.
I'm fine with Lozano. Yeah. Like, I thought he was fine, but these two smirking fucking shitheads,
awful.
Fuck them. Fuck them so hard. I hope they're never in another goddamn movie. Or show.
I mean, they're some of the most hateable villains that I've ever seen.
They're immediately like, wow, fuck these guys. I don't ever want to see them again.
Even when they're just doing their dance videos.
You know when you're watching the dance videos. No, these two fuckos.
Even when we just see Diggy, like, looking butthurt because she doesn't seem to be enjoying the dance moves with him as much as she is with the brothers.
My first problem with this episode is the first fucking frame after the video happens where she's drooling over those fucking tool bags. Mm. In advance of going over there. It's cringy as fuck, and you can look at those videos, and you're like, nah, no one drools over those fuckos.
No. I'm too old for this shit.
Oh, God. My notes are fucking sparse for this one. This was, oh, cool, influencer bullshit. I mean, I feel very bad for Willa.
We are teetering on the edge of TikTok not existing in the United States, which is also dumb to me.
It's stupid, but I will be so glad when it's gone.
Are you telling me, like, I know.
It's, this is this bullshit racist stuff. It's just, it's easy to fucking, like, shit on China and, like...
Because our country isn't falling apart enough that we're going to blame somebody else for our troubles. But I don't even care about that. But, like... I have not gotten deep into TikTok ever. Occasionally, I'll see some videos that are funny. You know, it's kind of like Vine stuff, right? And I enjoy it, and it's funny. But I do not get this kind of stuff, like teens dancing to Doja Cat. Why would I watch that?
I wouldn't. I will say that the song, what, Kiss Me More or whatever.
It's a very catchy song.
Yeah, like, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not my, like, that's not what I'm into musically. But, like, it is considerably less terrible than I was expecting for a social media-centered cold open montage.
Megan watched this episode with me, and she was like, oh, yeah, that song's playing, like, every clothing store when you go shopping there now. It could have been worse, and I'm shocked that they...
It has been much worse in this show.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, 100%. But I'm just shocked they spent the money on that. The convention of like later season episodes, it's like weird going back and forth, right? To have these kind of like extended musical numbers. And we've been in early season, so it takes a while to wrap your brain around that. In the time that we see them dancing to this song for like 10 minutes, the last episode we did, there were like three different people whose lives have been ruined by this point. And I guess that's like a Warren Light thing.
I don't really want to dig too much into it, but the like influencer ease that these fucking dudes are spouting off all the time, it sounds so fucking grating to me.
Oh, I just want to murder these dudes. But the other, so I get the idea that they're these influencers, right? And they have all these people that follow them online. And I guess we should probably talk, like, these guys are clearly based on the Paul brothers.
Sure.
You know, Jake and Logan Paul. Uh-huh. I did not.
One of whom got a movie that I worked on fucking shelved for 2 years.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, I worked on the Valley Girl remake.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was Logan was in it. One of the two was. I don't really give a shit which one it was.
Yeah.
But one of them was in it. And then, you know, like they basically became fucking radioactive. Mm-hmm. And then the movie got shelved for fucking ever. And I laugh about this because I hated working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been more fun to work on the original Valley Girl.
Yeah, a lot more fun. it would have not been miserable the entire time.
Yeah. Was it the same one whose current thing is getting beat up by D-list boxers? On pay-per-view?
I don't remember. He's actually, he wins mostly.
Oh, he
it's
does.
It's really irritating.
Yeah.
He should not be as good as he is, but he is good.
Mm.
But he's mostly beating UFC fighters.
Oh, okay.
In boxing.
In boxing.
But he beat like fucking Anderson Silva.
Hmm.
In boxing.
In boxing. Okay. So there's this extended sequence of the dancing. And this was the only part that was like, for me, like kind of fun to watch because... There's this whole...
It was not fun for me to watch. I was just irritated the entire
time. Oh, it was super irritating, but it was funny to see the story develop where we learn that Diggy is really into her.
Digby would have been a better name, though.
Yeah.
Diggy's the dumbest name possible.
Diggy really digs Willa, and Willa's like, we are not led to believe one way or the other whether she's into those douche bros or whether she's just excited about the opportunity.
No, she says that they're hot in the open.
You're right, she does, but are they hot like sexy or
says they're like hot, like they're she is like they're
I, only
I think she
once.
Says they're cute or something,
but I thought I got the implication that
I watched
it, was
it
like,
twice today sadly
they're
I
like
wish I didn't.
Super popular and so she's like vibing off that. Not that she wanted to bang
them. Theoretically could be, but she was definitely saying they're attractive.
Yeah.
When it's just her and Kevon.
But then it's like she's at the house and she's clearly like trying to do a good job at the dance moves and she's wearing a ridiculous kind of outfit that...
This is not a good episode for you and me to be talking about. We are both so fucking irritated by all of the influencer bullshit that, like, I mean, I'm shutting down and I'm like on the third bullet point on my notes.
I'm like, these guys, I'm just like looking at the house and like, they get paid how much to live there. And but then it's like, you couldn't pay me to live in that fucking house with those assholes.
No, when she's walking through, when she's doing the initial like walkthrough that the two fuck bros are like leading her through the house on, she's like talking about about how great it is. I'm looking around. I'm like, this is fucking nightmare. Hell on earth. Yeah. This is my worst goddamn nightmare.
This is a dorm, but with people that make insane amounts of money and shove it in your face constantly. That's what it is.
This is a fucking South by after party.
Yes, that never ends.
That never ends. And I fucking hated that shit when I was 24. Why yes. would I fucking like it now?
Absolutely.
Do you think the algorithm knows that Noah just wants to watch rape accusation videos?
I mean, it hears us, right? So it hears mom talk shop all the time. But has Noah ever cracked a case before? Because Noah's kind of doing some police work in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, I think... Like, Noah and Willa are doing most of the work here. The SVUs don't really do,
they didn't do
hardly
shit.
Anything. I mean, Carisi does some shit, I guess, but not the detectives.
It's hard to beat the SVU out of Carisi.
I mean, Jed Haagen-Dazs does some work, but... Ari Leyendyke really helps him out a lot, you know?
I love that 1 week of TikTok fandom means that everyone knows who Willa is.
Dude, like,
except for olds. Olds don't know who anyone is.
I am old, but the idea that even videos or like tweets or something that get like millions of likes, like I don't know who those people are. And I wouldn't recognize them in real life, right? It's a different kind of fame than like movie stars, right?
Just wait a second. You fucking followed. You followed a writer at The Defector to a grocery store because you fucking
not a grocery store, pizza restaurant.
Sorry. You followed him to a pizza place because you fucking made him on the street. Let's not act like you don't know who people on the internet are.
Very niche internet.
I love him. He's one of my favorite people. But come on. I could also pick him out of a lineup, but let's not act like you can't.
But there's very few internet personalities that I could do that with. And it's like, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
But then I can't be like, hey, I listened to your podcast.
You actually could. They don't get it very much.
Yeah, but still, I don't know.
If someone came up to me and was like, hey, I watched you on YouTube.
The thing is, in New York, you gotta have like a reason to talk to somebody, right? Because like I have you a dog. You can't
come
and a
up
kid.
With a reason to talk to him.
No, you can't. If he had a dog,
no,
I could
come
to
up
him.
With a reason to talk to him.
You don't talk to people in New York, Josh. Not randoms. They don't hear you. They just keep.
He's
walking.
Not from New York, though.
But he's from Jersey. He's from right across the stream.
Isn't he from Maine, or is that his?
No, that's a different one. He's from like right across the stream.
You're about to leave. He's not going to think you're a creep.
Exactly. Anyways, I have the coolest dog in the neighborhood. So if you want to hang out, like, let me know. I'm not that annoying.
Okay. So weirdos could figure out very easily who we're talking about. Mm.
Specific weirdos.
Because we've mentioned him not on this podcast before, but somewhere else.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. Big fan of The Defector. I think that more publications should go to that model if they can.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because corporate ownership of everything sucks ass and ruins everything.
And they found out the hard way because fucking Deadspin got bought out by a fucking VC firm, you know?
Yeah, and before a lot of those guys were, you know, like Vice writers before then. And Vice is basically one guy's path to riches on the backs of all his employees. Yep. So fuck that guy too.
I love how baffling the concept of a content house is to Carisi.
Understandably. Because he's going...
A content house? What?
Why would I want to... Like, what on earth is appealing about... Like, these kids are like out of college, right? And they just sit around and dance in front of their fucking phones all day. Like, it's one thing to do that in the privacy of your own home, but when other people are watching, it's rough. I get it. He just wants to be like learning some new Staten Island recipes, you know? That's what he wants to be doing when he's not at work.
Oh, we get to see him make some food.
We do. We get to see their home life in a way that I hadn't really seen before.
It's kind of nice.
It's nice. It's weird that...
Well, it's very early in their relationship, too.
Okay.
So the Wheelhouse fans go after Willa hard, and then we get that fucking gross-ass brotherly love bit.
Oh, so gross. I didn't realize that they were brothers until this moment, and I was
I didn't realize that until I was looking at the names, and I was like, oh shit, they were actually brothers? Because they don't look alike.
No, they don't look enough alike.
The only thing that looks alike is their fucking awful mouths.
Yeah.
They do the most disgusting fucking mouth acting I've ever seen. they're sneering and smirking in ways that like make me wonder. It's like anti-Viagra. Like, I wonder if I'll ever be able to get hard again after seeing their smiles.
I mean, these guys,
after seeing their mouths act,
you have to hand it to them. They're stealing every scene that they're in because of this. Like in the courtroom, like they kind of make the courtroom compelling because they're so fucking awful.
By the way, not only are they brothers, they're both 21, so that means they're twins.
I mean,
or at least Irish twins.
Fraternal Irish twins. Nice.
My last name's Dugan. I can say it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There's a Dugan's coffee shop in Albuquerque. I'll check it out for you. See if it's a nice spot. There. Yeah.
They basically re-rape her on the rooftop.
Big time. Like, it's a way that like a Warren Light season can be cringier than a Neil Bear season episode, right? Because there's not so much shit going on. You really have like an extended amount of time to feel how uncomfortable that is for her.
Yeah.
And it's bad. Legitimately rough, that particular scene.
It also, I know that the Pauls are shitheads too, mm-hmm. but like watching that, how could anyone be a fucking fan of these D-bags?
I don't get it. I don't understand.
I mean, I don't get TikTok. I don't get how people could be fans of the Pauls. I guess I sort of understand TikTok, but like there are elements of TikTok that I think are stupid.
You know, that fucking guy, Andrew Tate. Is that his
Andrew
name?
Oh,
I don't understand any of these fucking
like
meathead shitbads, but whatever, man.
Okay, Diggy or sorry.
Digby goes down.
Mm-hmm. Digby.
Yeah, Diggy Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, I'm looking for his name. Taylor Trench, mm-hmm. whose real name is Donald, I guess.
Okay.
The character's real name is Donald Diggy.
Mm, okay.
He looks like he's either 14 or 53.
It definitely seems like his next part is going to be like picking up his kids from the 92nd Street Y and complaining about the dating scene there.
His next role is going to be, he's going to be trying to talk Jared Leto as Mark David Chapman out of killing John Lennon, but he is his dad.
I love this. Has this movie been pitched yet?
You do know that Jared Leto played Mark David Chapman, right?
No, I don't know.
I mean, fuck all of it, but
I'm only interested in Jared Leto as the Joker or Jared Leto as it in Gucci. Those are the things I'm interested in.
That's two more things than I'm interested in, Jared Leto. And fuck him always.
Jordan Catalano, though? Come on.
Nope. Fuck that, too. They're awful Victory Lap video drops.
They just get more and more odious.
Yep.
The last one where it's like they're sitting on a couch and they're like these background actors on either side of them. One of the worst.
Awful. Awful. You're just like, who watches this? And then fucking Stay Woke. Like, hey, fuckos. They know what woke means as well as fucking Ron DeSantis knows what woke means.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're using the same fashion.
Yeah, but they're using it telling their followers to stay woke.
Mm-hmm.
It's the antithesis of what fucking Ron DeSantis wants, but...
But I just don't understand, like, the kind of person that's going to go to picket the courthouse and throw milkshakes at officers of the court on behalf of TikTok stars. That's something I don't understand.
I feel like someone just watched The Weatherman and wanted to take that wrinkle and put it in here. Because he's constantly getting frosties thrown at him. Well, The Weatherman's amazing, by the way. Please watch it.
There's that like right-wing journalist guy, Andy Ngo, who was like part of the whole, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
But people would like throw milkshakes at him for a while. And so I feel like it maybe was also related to that. I don't know. Hey, fuck that guy. I just don't understand anybody that lives in New York that has the time for that shit. Because if you live here, you're either have to work constantly.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Or you're so rich that why on earth would you give a shit about TikTok stars?
Right.
Like,
in the courtroom, there is like a fucking long hair 50-year-old behind them. And he's wearing a free, and we presume like it's free in white shirt with black lettering, free. And then we presume it's Tate and Liam or whatever.
Yeah.
Why would that fucking guy be there? That guy is so fucking old.
Yeah.
He's not fucking TikToking with these.
It's such a grind to live here when you're old, because it's just like every step. I follow these olds all over the place. They walk constantly. They're so old. They're all like teetering to the left or the right. It's like every step is pain. And all their free time is spent complaining on a different app, on Nextdoor or on Citizen, about how they smell weed or see something they don't like, and how because they smelt weed yesterday, it's like the 70s and Law and Order is breaking down. That's what olds do. I don't understand the jury forewoman. It seems like a bad place. She's going to jail, right, for this?
I would assume so. They sure are.
And she seems like she's probably old enough to be their mother's. Maybe not twice their ages, but...
maybe 10 years older. She's probably 30.
Okay. Embarrassing.
So the whole courtroom tries to live stream the fucking trial on the phones. Like, yeah. There's just so much irritating shit in this episode. Yeah. Was Swope also, like, smirks hard through the whole fucking case? Oh,
he
smirks the whole time.
He like, really... he feeds on the smirk of his clients until he realizes...
he watched a lot of Buchanan. Yeah. I think he sat in the back of the courtroom while Buchanan was doing his thing and was like, oh, I'll do that.
Well, until he realizes that his case has been totally fucked by his dickhead clients.
But that takes a long fucking time, and he does a lot of smirking before that. He
smirks a lot. Because he's like, they're so rich, they can afford the best representation, and I'm going to destroy you guys.
Whenever you see a juror, as much as we see the forewoman here, you know bad shit's going to happen.
Yeah, you know. We haven't seen a juror this much since, what's her name? I forgot her name, but the Greg Yates lady.
Bronwyn.
Yeah. Bronwyn Reed, I think. Was that her name?
I think Bronwyn Reed is the actress who plays Lucy Heston.
Oh, that's right. That's the other Bronwyn that we see all the time. That is absolutely.
Bronwyn is the character name. She has a normal name, I think. But yeah, and the William Lewis bullshit. And again, later in the Yates stuff.
Hey, Welsh names can be normal to some people, right? I assume Bronwyn's a Welsh name.
It has to be. Swope's really lobbying hard for, you know, mistrial and dismissal. Doesn't get his way.
Yeah.
He gets on the stand and says, you're not that good of an actress. Sorry. I thought that was a weird way to try to charm your way back into her good graces.
Yeah. And here you have kind of a cringy thing, right, from this guy. Because she got raped kind of on his invitation, right? It wasn't his fault, but it definitely like happened under his umbrella.
He greased the tracks.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, sure. Like, do shots of vodka and get into the hot tub.
Lit up the runway.
These fucking monsters. And then he's like, I'm going to try to turn the charm back on in the courtroom and tell you that I love you in front of America. I think it's a classless move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Plenty of classless moves, though. Speaking of classless moves. With these smug fucks smirking their way through the entire trial, mm-hmm. in full view of the jury,
mm-hmm.
how do they think that's not going to poison the jury against
them? Because they're so smug that they don't give a shit.
I know that they eventually get the fucking juror, but like they're doing it from fucking Jump Street, man.
Okay,
From moment one.
Jumping the shark here that like, okay, like the new mafia is fucking TikTok stars. Like they're like, I'm sorry. Do you want like 100,000 followers by tomorrow? Like, no. I mean, no. Am I going to go to jail? No.
So Dickie says that he basically helped cover up previous assaults.
Mm-hmm. He breaks down.
Yeah, he freaks out and then mm-hmm. he sort of spotlights where Carisi should be looking unintentionally, I think, but still sort of shines a light on it. And then they're bribing jurors.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to bribe two of them. Then we get the fucking nonsense about Willa moving into the fucking wheelhouse and they're going to rebrand it.
Mm-hmm. Which,
okay.
I mean, it's a very like SVU twist that sure. would be their branding. But I guess if your fans are coming for lighthearted dance numbers with rapey bros, they're kind of be disappointed by the new plot twist, right?
I think there are other avenues on TikTok that you can fall down. You can be a crunchy mom. You can be... So, but then Willow's like, you're lucky to be getting Carisi'd on the reg. Yep.
Yeah, that is basically the end of the episode.
Sure shit don't need to talk about the Albanians.
I mean, the Albanians are, we've already talked somewhat about the Albanians. We don't know what's going on with them, but I do,
but I'm not going to talk about it on this podcast because it's not an organized crime podcast.
The character of Elvis Baktashi, I just want to throw that out there, that the Albanian community vigilante wearing the red bandana is all over the SV universe.
It is something.
I'm sure there are Albanians in New York City.
They're everywhere.
I wouldn't say that there's like a neighborhood where you're like, oh yeah, that's where the Albanians live, right? It's not that kind of presence.
Because it's everywhere, Adam.
But as we've talked about before, Albanian is a fascinating language group. It's its own branch of Indo-European languages that's older than Latin or Greek. And yet there is no evidence of it in the historical record until like well into the Common Era. Very interesting. I know we've talked about this at length. Yeah. Also, at one point, Albania had the highest per capita Mercedes-Benz ownership on Earth. Pulling that factoid out of the depths of my memory.
I don't know why you would know that, Adam. I think on that note.
Yeah, I think it's time to rank this episode. So, guys, obviously, we rank these episodes every week. We have our own 4 criteria 10-point scale. We're trying to come up with a composite score, which will allow us to rank this episode against all the other ones. So we rank on the overall quality of the episode, the quality of the guests, how problematic the episode was, and the depth and breadth of lives ruined. Overall quality of this one, it's very irritating because it's in the social media milieu.
Yep.
And in some ways, the pace of a later season episode works for it in that it really makes us kind of simmer in how gross those brothers are and that content house is. But in other ways, it means that
we are stuck simmering in that fucking we're just stew.
Like, they're like scenes take a long time. Like things don't resolve quickly. We don't get to the next thing. There's no kind of like fun twist at the end. Like it's just...
There's a solid 12 minutes of those douche bros on screen fucking smirking and sneering.
Oh, yeah. Easily. And sure, they can do that very well.
But I don't want to watch it. I could have used maybe a third of it and I still would have gotten it and I wouldn't
Exactly.
Needed.
You can get that. Like, I'm thinking of, we were just talking about Pretty in Pink briefly earlier. And you think about like...
Off mic.
Off mic. Off mic. Completely. But you think about like James Spader's performance in Pretty in Pink. He's on screen for, I don't know, 5 minutes or something in an hour and a half long movie, maybe something like that. But he
a little
brings,
longer,
but not that much. Yeah. But he brings such a shithead, coked out energy to his role that you remember it. It really hits home. Of course, he's a fantastic actor. Anyways, we're not talking about the guests. We're talking about the quality. What do you think? My inclination is 2 or 3.
I think it's 3.
It's professional. Yeah. So that's not its problem. Its problem is that it doesn't have enough going on to like maintain interest.
It's living in a bullshit fucking...
It's living in like a weird fantasy of these content creators. But more than that, it's just like there's just not enough content in the episode to really get it moving. Like we're in court a lot.
It suffers from the 4 minutes or so or devoted to maybe it's 2.5 or 3, but enough episode is devoted to an organized crime storyline that we just...
We don't care about.
Fan, you don't care about.
Yeah, we don't care about. Exactly. I mean, maybe if you're watching it when it airs, the organized crime episode is showing what, just before, just after, or whatever.
After.
But when you're watching it on Hulu, that's not the case. So, yeah, it's annoying. So, 3. Okay. The quality of the guests. Now, we've been talking at length about the smirk on the bros. What'd you think about Diggy or Willa?
I thought Willa was fine. I thought... Diggy was off-putting.
Yeah.
It's a thankless character, but I don't think he was doing a good job.
No, I could see him being like a bureaucrat. That's what I see him being. You know, like a soulless functionary.
He should have been the John Magaro character in Institutional Fail. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's not nerdy influencer.
No, he's not. He's not. Why would I want to watch his videos? So... I think that's kind of a fail.
I mean, honestly, I think the only two doing... Well, okay, so Bakhtashi's fine.
Yeah, but Michael Dempsey. Whatever. I almost don't even feel like that's part of the episode.
Jake Ryan Lozano's Kavan, he's fine.
He's fine.
But why would his character fucking leave her at all? How
that's
did she...
what I don't... How did she end up doing shots in the hot tub? Because his whole thing was like, these guys are rapey. I'm going there to keep an eye on you.
And then the instant she's in the house, it's like, oh... Oh, I don't know where she is.
Yeah, later.
I'll find you after you've been raped. Peace. Just baffling.
Yeah, and there was like maybe an opportunity with those characters to like even go like harder on the back and forth video stuff. Anyways, that's more quality.
Is this a 3?
I think it's another 3. Are we doing this again? We gave 2 threes to quality and guests last week too. Whatever. I'm fine with that.
An hour ago?
Yeah. So problematic, Josh. So it is problematic because we hear about the brotherly love.
Gross. I'm disgusted thinking about it.
None of it's fun. It's a little too real. Like, those guys, they play rapey pretty well.
Might not be a stretch.
They have that in their wheelhouse, so to speak. What's the other title for it? I keep forgetting. Is it Digby's Grindhouse or something like that? It's
Penthouse.
Oh, okay. That makes
Diggy's,
more sense.
Diggy's Penthouse.
Diggy's Grindhouse would be more interesting.
I'd much rather watch that than this.
So, I don't know.
Problematic
five,
is...
4?
No, it's not a 5. It's 3 or 4.
Another 3?
Yeah, I think this is just a 3.
I mean, it's really like most problematic just for the disgusting sneers on those brothers' faces. And uh-huh. I hate those guys, but...
Yeah, I hate them so much.
They're keeping it off the pavement, but barely. So, depth and breadth of lives ruined. Let's go through whose lives were ruined. So, Willow was assaulted.
She was terrorized by the Stan army, too.
And she was, yeah. So was Rollins and Carisi. They had their feelings hurt.
I mean, he was...
He was worried about...
Slushied. He was slushied.
Yeah.
And he was trying to protect his little lady. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
But the thing is, like, you know, it's one of those episodes where there's, you know, the arc of justice kind of, like, is complete by the end, right? Where...
Wait, are you really going to quote, the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice?
I was paraphrasing.
Diggy says...
I was paraphrasing. But, you know, there is, like, I wouldn't say full... justice or anything, but Willa and like all the good guys.
Willa and Kavan are going to get to move into the wheelhouse.
They get to move into the wheelhouse just like they always
and
wanted
re-brand
to.
Rebrand it.
Yeah, and everybody loves a good rebrand. So this is, okay, is it insensitive to give this like a 2 even though she was like brutally attacked?
Let's look at 2s.
Let's look at a 3. Scott Bakula. Sure. Vanity's Bonfire.
Someone fucking dies.
Yeah, right? Other 3. The Lothair Blue Toad, Donal Logue, Michael Potts. They're wasting no time in letting Logue brogue. Gambler's Fallacy. Okay, 2. Chad Coleman.
No, this is a 2.
Spousal Privilege.
This is a 2 because, okay, yeah. if you go to Gambler's Fallacy. Yeah. Gambler's Fallacy has a complete innocent, the Brazilian diplomat's wife,
yeah.
get raped.
Yes.
She is not only raped, but she is raped because of Rollins' bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real recourse towards finding justice for her.
Exactly. Yeah. She doesn't, like, there's
at least for her.
For her, her character doesn't get any justice.
The characters responsible get comeuppance, but not for that.
The Chad Coleman, Megan Good episode, Spousal Privilege, tensions building in the Amandalus relationship. We haven't said that one in a while, if ever. Now, that one, that was like the Ray Rice episode. Uh-huh. And yep. he brutally beats his partner on camera. Uh-huh. And we gave that a 2. So, a 2, which gives us an overall score of 2.75, which is the lowest score we've had in a while, actually. Last one that was worse than this. Man, I'm having to go back a while. Last one that was worse than this was No Surrender. That's season 18, episode 12. I've known people who served. They do talk like humans. Which I remember that one now. That was a shitty episode. And so is this one. But hopefully... Oh, we don't have to roll next week's, do we, Josh? Because we're going to...
No.
This was a Munchie's choice.
Yeah, next week is the next Munchie's choice. The Munchies give and they sometimes take away.
We'll see what they do this time.
The last 2 Munchies choices, the only 2 Munchies choices thus far, have been The Undiscovered Country.
Mm-hmm. Which was very bad.
Where Barba snuffs out a baby.
That was a 1, even though Barba killed a kid.
1 across the board. Or a 10,
mm-hmm.
which we have 2 tens, mm-hmm. 2 perfect tens.
Yeah.
Possession and fucking the Stamisode.
Dude, this damn episode is so fucking good.
It's a banger.
That's
which is why they called it Bang.
That is Bang. It's subtropical water, not dumb tropical water.
I think that's too esoteric. I love the title. I mean, but it I think sometimes our esoteric titles get the worst of us, so get in the way of promoting what should have been a bigger.
Usually,
episode.
It's because there's not a perfect one, and so I just go with the. I know. Go with the next best thing, if it's my choice. So. What's in store this time, Josh?
Okay, I'm refreshing the poll. This is, you know, I warned Munchies they had a few hours. And the winner is season 10, episode 22, Zebras.
Ooh, I'm excited. I don't know which this one is about.
Teaser. CSU Stuckey's careless error causes a deranged killer to go free on a technicality. Later, more signature killings emerge, and more people connected to the case may be targeted. I'll just say that this is the Stuckiest of Stuckisodes.
Yeah, this is the Stuckisode.
Yeah.
But it also features Nick Stahl.
It does. Yep.
Carol Kane as Gwen Munch.
Yep.
So that's fun. Mike Doyle, of course.
Uh-huh.
Our boy. Not very many guests, though. It's a very limited cast list. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Josh, I guess, has thought about this episode more recently than I have.
I know this episode. I know it very well. The Munchies have spoken.
Oh, I remember this one now. I'm reading the recap.
Read the recap, man.
I remember. But fantastic stuff. Anyways, this one's going to be a lot of fun. It may not be the best episode. I don't think it'll be the worst because it's too fun for that. But.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So.
It's still going to be fun.
I believe that was Jeremy's suggestion.
Thanks, Jeremy. Hope the leg's feeling better.
Yeah. RIP your ligaments.
Yeah, Jesus. But yeah, so we don't have to roll Bill and Ted this week. But we do have to tell you about our Patreon.
Does that mean Bill and Ted are stuck in this episode? Do they have to keep living in fucking Fast Times at the Wheelhouse?
They're just like enraged social media fans throwing...
We'll drag you along, Bill and Ted.
Are throwing slushies at them. Yeah, so we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/munchmybenson, I believe.
Yeah.
We have two different levels. The first one, the lower one, $3 tier, gets you ad-free episodes, including all the back episodes. The higher tier, only $2 more, gets you all of these episodes a week early. This episode, which is not that long right now, is probably going to get a solid 30 minutes cut out of it. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And sometimes we cut
easily
way more than that. Josh is about to start editing one where he's going to have to cut about an hour somehow.
I've already cut the Patreon thing and it's
nice.
I think it's 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Good luck with that.
I'm fucked. I'm going to have to cut like a solid fucking hour out of that episode.
So that's fun. You get those a week early. An uncut on that higher tier. You also get our movie club episodes. The most recent one we will have done will be Taking of Pelham 123, the original, which is a really fucking awesome. Good movie. So that's going to be fun. We do some good ones, some bad ones, but this is going to be a special one. Now, we have a Discord if you want to talk about these episodes. That's probably the best place to do that. We have a lively, growing community there.
Yep.
We have a website, munchmybenson.com, where you can find links to all this stuff if you didn't look in the show notes. We also have social media. Everywhere we are is at munchmybenson. We are not on TikTok. We are not on Snapchat. We are barely on Mastodon. I learned about a new one today where it's like, oh, I on this and post all the time. Like, I've never heard of that fucking shit, so I'm never going to go
there. Oh, Dick Slap?
it might have been Dick Slap. Oh, God. Where else are we? We have an email address, munchmybenson@gmail.com.
All of this shit's in the show notes.
It is. We have merch. It's in the show notes. It's on the website. Regardless, guys, we love you. Thanks for bearing with us through a less than stellar, at least in our eyes, Munchisode.
Maybe you guys all loved it.
Maybe you did. Maybe you guys want to start doing your own interpretive dances to our podcast.
Just tag us.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
We'll read whatever.
Yeah, cross promote, follow, yep. Follow us, follow back, you know, smash that like button, rate and review.
Yeah. Now, if you have followed the podcast and you have a private account, I usually don't follow back because I figure you don't want us to. Mm-hmm. But if you do want us to, by all means, message us and I will follow back. That is a sort of default that I tend to do with social media. If you have a private account, I figure you're a private person and don't need a rando podcast following you. Mm-hmm. But more than happy to, if that is your want.
But yeah, guys, I think it's time to get out there and, you know, start munching away.
Yep. And stay away from influencers.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be influencers.
Truth.
Doing shots in the hot tub. I got really dizzy. And then Tate and Liam took me downstairs.
Downstairs where?
To Tate's bedroom. And then that's when they locked the door. And they said that I was gonna get what I came for. Some of their brotherly love.